It's got to be one of the most beloved and well-known children's stories ever written. C.S. Lewis's The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe tells the story of a young girl named Lucy and her three older siblings who are evacuated out of London in 1940 because of the bombing raids of World War II. And they're sent to stay with a professor in the middle of the English countryside in his large home. One day, during a game of hide-and-seek, Lucy thinks she's found the best hiding place. It's a wardrobe. This isn't exactly your ordinary wardrobe, though. As she climbs in and pushes her way to the back of that wardrobe, suddenly a whole new world is opened up to her. The wardrobe was an entry point to the magical world of Narnia. It's a wonderful adventure. The rest of the story tells of this new world. It's an experience, a journey of deep meaning. Lucy finds out she's the queen of Narnia. She has an important mission. She's to keep all of the living creatures of Narnia alive. What an adventure. What a full experience that Lucy and her siblings are on. You know, I think one of the reasons this story continues to resonate for kids and adults is because at some deep level, we all long for that kind of experience. We all long that our lives would be meaningful, significant, that maybe there's a wardrobe-type experience where we step into something that makes our lives feel less diminished and more enlarged, a full life. Did you know that one day Jesus talked about how to experience fullness of life? And he talked about the entry point to begin to experience fullness of life. What did he say? John chapter 10. Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who've come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate, and whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Jesus says, "I am the gate, and I've come that they may have life and have it to the full." Well, as you know, here at evening, 10th evening, we're on a journey through the last few weeks leading up to Easter, where we're looking at how Jesus described himself through seven I am statements in the Gospel of John. And if you've been here the last couple of weeks, we looked at how Jesus is the bread of life, and how Jesus later described himself as the light of the world. Today, we're going to explore this kind of unique passage where Jesus says, "I am the gate." What does a gate do? A gate is an entry point. It's an entrance. But a gate is also a protective barrier, isn't it? So the question I want to explore with you tonight is, what is Jesus the entry point to? He's saying, if you come through me, I will lead you to some type of fullness of life. What does he mean by that? And secondly, is there something that Jesus as the gate wants to protect us from? Because in this verse, we read about thieves, those who are going to try to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, before we jump into this text a little bit more, let me just give a couple of background information things that will be helpful to us. So in this text, you and I are the sheep. Now, if you're new to the Bible, that may sound weird that I'm calling you an animal, but that's the metaphor that is used, that you and I in our nature resemble a sheep. That's what the passage is. Now, this may sound kind of strange to you, but I came across this anecdote. Maybe you've heard this. Have you ever heard this, that dog owners and their dogs kind of look alike. Have you ever heard this? I thought this was kind of made up, but then a five-minute Google search pulled up that I think there's some truth to this, that dog owners and their dogs actually do resemble each other. Maybe we should just close in prayer right there, because that's the only thing you'll remember from this sermon. But the Bible says that you and I actually resemble sheep. Now, that's where we need to kind of see ourselves. I think we have another picture here of that, if that's coming up. That is what we have to kind of get used to. All through Scripture, that's what we're called. And the thing about sheep is they're very dependent on a shepherd. Sheep are utterly dependent on a shepherd for their survival. A lone sheep is a dead sheep. They just depend on a shepherd to keep them alive, to provide for them, to provide safety, to provide the conditions in which they can flourish. Now, the second thing you need to know that we're unfamiliar with is the concept of the sheep pen. Now, here's a picture of an ancient, or maybe it's a modern sheep pen. Can you see that? It's like walls of rocks that create a kind of enclosure with one opening. And suddenly, we start to see maybe what Jesus is talking about. He says that he is the gate, and that his sheep will come in and go out and find pasture. And what he's referring to is that sheep during the day would go out and graze, and the shepherd would lead them to different places where they can graze and be nourished. And then at night, the shepherd would lead them back into this enclosure. And where do you think the shepherd would stay for the night? Anyone want to guess? Right at the opening. And suddenly, we start to realize what it means that Jesus says he is the gate. The shepherd would literally lie at the opening, meaning that no sheep could wander off in the middle of the night and no wolf could come in. There was only one way in to the sheepfold, and there was only one way out. And suddenly, Jesus' words start to reveal that he is the entry point to a life of flourishing, a life of protection, a life where we are under the care of Jesus, but he is also our protector. He protects us from anyone who would come and try to steal and kill and destroy. What is Jesus the entry point for? Well, first, Jesus is the entrance to a life of belonging and safety, a life of security. Listen to verse 9. I am the gate, and whoever enters through me will be saved. That means they will be delivered safely. Jesus is saying that in me, you will find belonging and safety. Now, the reason I want to bring this up is because in the context of this story, we found that in chapter 9, there's a man who was born blind, and Jesus healed him. Why I bring this up is because this man had been told his entire life, because he was born blind, all kinds of questions. Well, did you sin? Did your parents sin? This must be some kind of horrible judgment of God upon you. All his life, this man has been told, you don't belong. You don't belong. Are there any three more hurtful words in the English language than you don't belong? But this man meets Jesus. And Jesus shows compassion on him as a lost and a needy sheep, and Jesus heals him. Problem solved, right? Well, guess what the Pharisees do to this man? This man who's been told, you don't belong, they kick him out of the synagogue, the center of social and religious activity in that community. They kick him out, and once again, they say to him, you don't belong. You were healed on the Sabbath. We don't trust Jesus. And Jesus, in response to that, tells this story. And he emphatically says to the man, you belong to me. That you belong to me. You matter to me. You matter to God. In Jesus, we find the belonging that we need at a deep existential level to know who we are, that we belong to God. Friends, I don't know who needs to hear that tonight. That maybe you at times have struggled with feeling like an outsider, like you don't belong, that you are lost, that you are that lost, wandering sheep that is vulnerable. And Jesus tonight, through this passage, would say, I am the gate. I welcome you into my fold. You belong to me. You know, during this pandemic, there's been so many strong feelings about everything from masks to vaccines to mandates to truckers' convoys. And, you know, having civil discussion about that and having different opinions is a good thing. But something else I've noticed is that there's a lot of kind of othering that's happening, which means you don't agree with me, you don't belong here. You don't think like I do, therefore you don't belong here. And families and churches and faith communities have been divided because they say to each other, you don't belong here because you don't think like we do. And friends, Jesus is reminding us that at the heart, he is a shepherd and he is the gate and he sees us and he knows us and he finds us. And he's the one that says, I am the gateway to a life of belonging and security. Just as sheep need the safety of those walls, knowing that the gatekeeper is guarding them, that's who Jesus is for you and I. You know, in 2019, our family got to experience this wonderful place of belonging in Mexico through a justice journey here at 10th. It's called the Rancho El Camino. And Patrick, our pastor of international missions, organized this for some families to go. And what you need to know about this ranch is it's in a place of, the area is very impoverished, that the children and the youth are at risk. They're at risk for dropping out of school, joining gangs, entering a life of crime, and heartbreakingly, they're at risk for trafficking. Those who would exploit them and use them and traffic them. And those who are most vulnerable is those who don't feel a sense of belonging. Maybe there's broken family relationships. And so the ranch has created this community where they help kids do school. Every morning they have tutors that help the kids finish school. In the afternoons, they learn skills of taking care of horses and cooking and maintenance and all kinds of things like that. But after staying at this ranch for a week, one of the most beautiful things is that they created a place of belonging. That they emphatically told the youth of that area, you belong here. We see you and we know you and we accept you and you belong here and you are safe here. Jesus leads us to the fullness of life by first telling us, you belong to me. You belong to God. You belong to the family of God. Now, if you're here tonight and you would say, I really feel isolated and I feel lost, and I'm not experiencing that sense of belonging, you know, one of the beautiful things about this community is that I know your pastors and your pastoral team. I know what they pray about, and it's you. I know what they long for, and it's to make this community a place of belonging. And I know that it would be their joy to sit down with you for a coffee or tea and hear your story and pray with you and help you get connected, help you to know that experience of belonging with God and with his family, that you might experience through that belonging fullness of life that Jesus is offering. Let me invite you to be bold and to take that first step and to talk to one of our pastoral team, because that is one way that you might be able to experience more of that belonging of Jesus, to know that you belong. Your church should be a place where someone knows your name, where someone knows your story, where you belong. Well, the second thing that I want to highlight briefly here in this passage is that the gate also protects us from anything that would seek to steal, kill, and destroy. Verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. What is it that steals life from you? What is it that steals joy from your life? I know we have some students here, and when I think back to when I was a student in mid-March, I would feel that I was kind of drowning. Because in mid-March, I know that we're coming to the end of a semester, I would feel completely overwhelmed. I would feel like, remember when you were a kid and you did swimming lessons and you had to tread water for like 3 minutes or some kind of crazy long period of time, and you start to get tired and the water level would start to rise and you're like, I'm going under, I'm going down. That's how I would feel in mid-March, right around this time. And I would also experience a lot of pressure, internal pressure that I think I put on myself to succeed, to do well, to get good marks, so that if I got the good marks, I could get into the right program. And I began to believe the lie that I am who my marks say I am. You know what that's called? It's called an achievement-based identity. And that is a heavy burden to carry. I remember doing well on a certain exam or test or course, and I had mixed feelings because even though I was happy I did well, I realized I had just raised the bar now for next time. Maybe you have experienced that kind of pressure. Maybe it's internal. Maybe it's external. It comes from parents or from others in your life. And you have begun to believe that lie that would steal your joy, would steal your life, that you are who your marks say you are. You are who your job says you are. You are who your professional success or lack thereof says that you are. And man, if you're not doing well, you just tell yourself, I'm nothing. I'm not good enough. Jesus wants to heal you from that identity because he tells us in this passage that we belong to him. That our entrance into the fold of God is not based on our marks, our achievement, our success. Sometimes we can tell ourselves that we're just not good enough. Some people call this the emotion of shame. You know, I've talked to a number of people who have expressed the things that go something like this. You know, I've done well in this area of my life, but in terms of significant relationships, man, I thought I would have met someone by now. And it's really painful that I haven't. And that very understandable disappointment moves to a sense of shame because they tell themselves, what's wrong with me? Is there something wrong with me that I am not good enough to find someone, to attract someone? And that disappointment shifts to something that is really painful because that feeling of not being good enough is, it cuts so deep and it's such a vulnerable place for us. And friends, Jesus would remind you that that is not your identity. You are more than your marks or your success or your relationship status. That you belong fundamentally to Jesus Christ. That is the most important part of your identity. That you have been welcomed into his family. He has given his life for you. We're going to learn about this next week. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for you. You are that valuable to him. And that is the core of your identity. You belong to him. You find your safety and your security and your identity in him. And you know, like every sheep, that if you've got a good shepherd, then you will have all that you need to flourish in life. You may not have all that you want, but you will have all that you need. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, and therefore I lack nothing." Do you know that in Jesus Christ, we can live a life without lack? Because he will provide everything that we need to flourish, everything that we need at the deepest level to experience a full and a rich life. What are the things that might steal life from you, and how might Jesus want to bring healing? There's a woman in our community named Liz, and she's given me permission to share her story because she called me up out of the blue in the summertime, and I hadn't seen her and her husband for quite some time. I had officiated their wedding and then just kind of lost track of them. And out of the blue, Liz phoned me and said, "I'd like to talk." And she described how something was stealing her life, and that was an addiction to drugs. She said, first, it started out really harmlessly. It was recreational. It seemed exciting and fun. But soon I realized that I needed it to fill a deep emptiness in my life. It was stealing my life, my joy, and almost destroyed my marriage. She writes, "I was left with an empty feeling inside, and it just kept getting darker. I believed there was no good left in me and that God would never forgive me for everything I had broken. I was completely lost. And there was a voice that would tell me I'm not strong enough to overcome this." Liz writes that after many long sleepless nights, I had no place to turn. I turned to God, and I turned to my family and my life group, where they were able to pray for me and help me build a relationship with God. The biggest step for me was my ability to admit my addiction and reconnect to my church family, where I felt safe and loved. I felt like I existed again. After so many years of being away, it felt like family. And I asked Liz, what does fullness of life mean for you now? And she said that it means not lying to cover up more lies. "I've experienced fullness because I'm able to come to terms with my past and what I've done. I'm able to come back to God, knowing that he's there to give me strength, wisdom, and love, and reconnect me with my brothers and sisters." Jesus is the one who saves us from everything that would steal life from us. What is it that you would look to the Lord today and say, "This part of my life is, it's stealing my joy, it's stealing my life, and Jesus, I want you to come, Good Shepherd, gate, and heal this. Save me from this. Help me to experience the fullness of life." Are you feeling lost and isolated? Jesus welcomes you. Come to me. Enter the gate once again. Do you feel like an outsider? Are you experiencing shame or not good enoughness? Jesus says, "Come to me. Come back to me. Enter through the gate, and you will experience life." Let's pray together. Friends, let me just invite you in the stillness of this moment to ask the Lord how he might take these words and apply them to your life. Where is it that you need to know that you belong? What is it that is stealing life from you that you need Jesus to save you from? Can you just take a moment to just pray right here in this spot and ask the Lord what that what that means for you, and then just take a moment to listen to how he might reveal something to you. Jesus, we believe these words, that you are the gate for the sheep. We come to you again. We pray that you would bring us into a place of belonging and help us to experience the fullness of life, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.